"Good evening, sir," I said, holding out my basket to the huge soldier, Fisher, who opened the door to the Bridewell guardhouse. Fisher grunted and yawned. "What's your business here? It's going on midnight." I prayed that the Lord and Mama would forgive the river of lies about to flow from my mouth. "Colonel Hawkins sent me, sir, to clean the cells as you suggested." The guard stepped inside, and I followed him. He sat heavily in a chair and drank from a mug on the table.
"Terrible late to be cleaning cells."
The colonel got wind of a prison inspector arriving.
"Nobody told me," he growled.
I swallowed hard. Should I flee and give up on this senseless plot? He spat into the fire.
"But they don't tell me nothing. What's in the basket?"
"Food to keep me alive for a week," I thought. "Help yourself," I said. He pawed through it, took out a soft roll, and stuffed half of it in his mouth.
"Maybe I should ask the colonel,"
I thought quick as I could. "Yes, sir, of course. He's at the Queen's ball." Fisher winced.
"Best not disturb that."
"All right." He stood slow and reached for the key ring and a lantern on the wall.
"But don't be asking me to help. Cleaning the cells ain't my job."
I took the key. "Yes, sir."
"Wheelbarrow's in the hall," he said. "Once you filled it, roll it back here and I'll let you out so you can throw the muck and filth in the pit."
He yawned.
"Mind your breathing."
I turned. "Pardon?"
"Prisoners been dropping dead like flies. Fever."
The men in the first cell were mostly sleeping, or dying, or dead. None of them had the strength to do more than stare at me in the weak lantern light. I gagged and gagged again as I carried out overflowing chamber pots and forced myself to take a blanket from a corpse. "Hurry," I screamed inside. "Hurry, or it will be too late." Fisher looked up and chuckled as I passed back through the guardhouse with the barrel. I pitched the filth into the pit behind the prison and prayed it was not going to top any corpses. Before I went back inside, I cleaned off my hands in a snowbank. My teeth rattled with the cold.
"No fun, is it?"
the guard asked as I passed through again. He pulled at the blanket around his shoulders.
"Hurry up now, I need me sleep."
"Yes, sir." I wiped my hands on my skirt. "Almost done, sir." I did not open the door to the second cell, nor the third. I set the lantern in the wheelbarrow, pushed it down the hall to the fourth door on the right, and held my breath as I unlocked it. The stench was overpowering. Men unwashed for months and puke and muck and rot that was eating living flesh. 2 dozen pairs of eyes watched me, burning in skull-like faces. No one spoke. I stepped inside and held the lantern higher. The faces were new to me. Men and boys who had been moved in here after Corzine's original companions died. "Where's Mr. Dibden?" I asked in a small voice.
"Died this morning," croaked a man. "Everyone's dying."
"What about the slave boy?" He pointed to a corner. Corzine lay insensible, his skin burning with fever, his eyes rolled up into his head. I called his name and pinched him, but he did not look my way nor speak a word. "He'll be dead soon. Leave him and run." A weight settled on my shoulders like a cloak of iron. I bent close to his ear. "Shh," I whispered. A blast of cannon fire sounded from the battery. More royal celebrations. A few men looked to the window. "He's dead." I stood up. "Can someone help me with the body?" No one moved. "Then I shall do it myself." I grabbed Corzine under his armpits and dragged him across the floor and out the door. It took no effort at all to load him into the wheelbarrow. He weighed hardly more than a sack of potatoes or a full butter churn. I dashed back into the cell, snatched his hat out of the shaking hands of a man who was putting it on his own head, grabbed the lantern, and closed and locked the cell door. I could not ponder the fate of the rest of the men. Some things were not to be borne. Before I pushed him down the hall and into the guardhouse, I covered Corzine with the filthy blanket I'd stolen from the first cell. "You're dead," I hissed to him. "No noise." In the guardhouse, Fisher was sitting on his bed, leaning against the wall and snoring. He roused some as I shut the door to the cells. "Got a nasty load here," I said. Might take a bit to bury it. He nodded, already half asleep. As I pushed the wheelbarrow into the night, my legs shook so hard I thought sure they'd set the earth to trembling and bring the whole building crashing to the ground.